Good morning. We spent the past few weeks learning some of the halachos of Mekach u'Memkar. When you buy something, you pay for it, you give a deposit. What happens to the halacha? There's a fascinating Meshech Chochma, Hashem's Chayasar, which I think the Yoyim will enjoy. The Meshech Chochma points out that when the Torah describes Avram buying the Maris HaMachpelah, the Torah seems to repeat itself. It says that he bought it, La'avram le'mikno le'enei b'nei ches, that Avram bought it b'chol bo'i sha'ariroi. The pasuk then continues, V'achrei kein kavar Avram esara ishtoi, that Avram buried Sarah. And then, the next pasuk, V'yokam hasod v'amar ha'shabar la'avram la'chuzas kavar. It says again that Avram purchased the Ma'aras HaMachpelah and it became his. So why does the Torah repeat itself? Why are we discussing this Mekach twice? Zog the Meshech Chochma, there's a shita of the Goyin, Rav Hai Goyin, brought down in Chesh Mishpat, in Kuf Tzadi Dalet, that although, as we discussed a number of times, when a person pays for karka, kesef is a kinyan, it immediately becomes yours, that only applies between two Jews. The halachas of kinyanim by a goy are different. And therefore the goyin says that when you're buying from a goy, you need to do either a kinyan shtar, either write a contract, or make a chazaka. Zog the Meshech Chochma, let's try on these psukim. How did Avram buy the Maras Machpelah? He paid for it. Avram Meir Shekel Kesef. So once he paid for it, it was La'avrohom Le'mikne, it was a kinyan, it became his, Le'enei B'nei Ches, in the eyes of B'nei Ches. According to the secular law, you pay for something, it's yours. And therefore the B'nei Ches, as far as they were concerned, they got the money, the kinyan was complete. La'alach, it's not true. La'alach, it's not his. It's only after the next pasuk, V'acharei kein kavar Avram esara ishtai, Avram buried Sarah. Once he buried someone in the land, that's a chazaka. He took possession of it. So since he made a chazaka, he made another kinyan. Then the next pasuk says, V'yakam hasad v'amara asher bar l'Avram. Then he was cutting the Maras HaMachpelah. Because the halachas of kinyanim, and according to the Torah, and halachas, or the concept of buying something according to B'nai Ches, are very different, and that's why the Torah has to repeat it over a second time. Now today we started the sugya of Mechus Ramona. The Mechus Ramona involves cases where a person negotiates a deal, they arrive at a Heskim, he agrees to buy, he agrees to sell, but the parties do not make any kinyan, and no money changes hands. There's nothing more than a verbal Heskim to buy, to sell, to hire someone. And here, what we've learned today is there's a Machlokes, Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan holds Devarim, even though it's nothing more than words, Yesh behem mishum mechus ramono. Backing out, changing your mind, not following through with a verbal commitment is going to be considered a mechus ramono. This is very common. A person will buying a house, call a mortgage broker, he'll get a good quote and say, okay, I'm going to use you. A few days later, he changes his mind. The halacha is, it's mechus ramono. Every time you make an appointment, you hire a worker, any agreement to buy, to sell, to do business with someone, changing your mind is going to be mechus ramono. And as the Mishnah says, ein ruach chacham noicha himenu. Now what does this mean? What does it mean, ein ruach chacham noicha himenu? What kind of isser are we dealing with? So, if we look at the Gemara, whether Devarim have Mechus Ramona. The Gemara said, we have a proof that there is an Isra Mechus Ramona. What's the proof? Pasuk says, Hin Sedek Yelachem. So the Gemara Darshan said, Hin Sedek means, Ella Loimer Loch Shehe Hin Shalchot Sedek V'Lav Shalchot Sedek. If you say yes, if you say no, whenever you give your word, you have a chiyuv to follow through, you have a chiyuv to honor your word. So at this point, it sounds like it's a daraisa. We learn it out of Hin Sedek Yelachem. The Gemara then says no. The Gemara says it's not a proof from this pasuk. Why? Because this pasuk may be talking about Echad B'Peh V'Echad B'Lein. which means that if a person makes a commitment, he says, you know what, I'm going to use you, I'm going to do business with you, I'm going to use you for as a broker. So if at the time that he said it, it was echad b'peh v'echad b'lev, he had no intention of carrying through, there, the Gemara says, that everyone agrees is asur. You've lied to the person, you've told him you're going to use him, and you had no intention of doing so, that's asur, and that's from Hinshel Chot Tzedek. However, in a case where at the time you made the agreement, you were sincere, you planned on using him, and then you changed your mind, so it's not quite as bad. It's not echad b'peh v'echad b'lev. You weren't lying to the person, you weren't leading him on. But there, that's a question of Devarim, and there, according to most places, there's no raya from him in Tzedki Elochem, but nevertheless, we pass him as going to be Aser. Now, Ram Min says that when a person is Mechusar Amono, it's not just in Ruach HaMnoichim, it's not just like Chazal are not happy with what he did. The halacha is, he says, we do the same thing to him as we do to someone who deserves a Misha Parah. Bez Din has a chiv to get up there in public and say, this and this person made a deal, he's trying to back out now, he's in Mechusar Amono, and what he's doing is Aser. We can publicly shame him in order to get him to go through with the deal, in order to honor his commitments. If he refuses, Bezin can't force him. There's no kinyan, there's no contract, there's no legal way to enforce it. But as far as Isser V'Heter is concerned, it's Aser to be Chozer Midiburai. Person has a chiyuv to carry through. And again, Bezin can put pressure and can publicly embarrass him if he refuses to carry through with his commitment, if he refuses to go through with the deal. Now let's discuss some of the practical applications of Mechusar Amono. The simplest case we saw in the Gemara is a matana. You go over to a person and say, listen, I like you, I'm going to give you a present. The halacha is, if you change your mind, you're Mechusar Amono. Now again, there's no contract, there's no deposit, there's no consideration. The very fact that you gave your word, you said you're going to do something, you have a chiyuv to go ahead and carry through and to go ahead and to do it. However, the Gemara makes a very big distinction. The Gemara says that a matana merubah, if you promise to give someone a very large present, you go over to the person and tell them, listen, I like you, I really like you, I'm going to give you $10,000. The halacha is, you have every right, if you change your mind, there's no Mechusar Amono. Why? Because the Gemara explains, a matana merubah, when you promise someone a large present, did the recipient really think he's going to ever see this money? Probably not. You're not soymich das. He doesn't really trust he's going to get it. And therefore, Mechusar Amono does not apply. Mechusar Amono is only by a matan mu'etes. You make a commitment to do something, to give a small present. A small present is something which a person expects you to carry through. He doesn't doubt he's going to get it. If you change your mind, try to back out, that's Mechusar Amono. But if the present from the beginning was something which was so large that people would not rely on it, there was never a smichas das, and there is no iser of Mechusar Amono. Now of course, if you did it, if at the time you made the offer, you weren't sincere, that's going to be awesome. That's echad b'peh v'echad b'lev. There at the time you made the commitment, you were lying to him, you were leading him on. But if at the time you made the commitment you were sincere and then you changed your mind, if it's a matana merubah, if it's a large present, you have the right to back out. If it's a matana mu'etes, if it's a small present, you would have to carry through.
Is that universal? Or is it just the person is exceedingly wealthy, the guy is able to
say? 100%. It'll depend on the situation. A wealthy person that makes a commitment, it'll be considered a matana mu'etes, unless it's, you know, a very large amount. A poor person that makes the very same commitment, it might be considered a matana merubah. Now, interestingly enough, it also depends on the perceptions. In other words, you could be a very wealthy person, but you're modest, you drive a beat-up car, no one knows how well you've been doing in business. If you promise someone or make a commitment to give them a matana merubah, there'd be no Mechusar Amono. Because he didn't rely on you, he thought you were a schlepper. He didn't know that you were wealthy. And therefore, you'd be able to back out. Again, if you didn't mean it at the time, that's echad b'peh v'echad b'lev. But if you meant it and you changed your mind, you could. On the other hand, if you were always the hotshot in town, and you have the you're the gvir, you're driving, you have a very high standard of living. That was until 2 years ago. Then the market crashed. But Baruch Hashem, no one caught on yet. Your car is still under lease, it's still driving a nice car, you still live in the biggest house. So in that case, although you may be an ani, but if to the public they think you're an usher, any commitment you make will likely be a matan muetis, and you'll have to carry through. In fact, there was an interesting story. Reb Kiveger once went to visit another city to rest. So they made arrangements. They didn't want him to be in the center of the city where everyone's going to be busy and ask him questions and keeping him and draining him. So they made arrangements for him to stay by a gvir that lived outside of the ghetto, a nice house. On the other side of the city, it would be nice and quiet. Fine. So he comes to the city, and apparently the Reish HaKahal got wind of this plan, and he was very upset. How could it be? This is our opportunity. Kiveger's coming to the city. So they hijacked the wagon, and they made other arrangements, and the wagon pulled up to the Reish HaKahal's house. He comes out, he takes out all of his packing, and he unloads Kiveger's suitcases, and he moves him into the Reish HaKahal's house. Kiveger comes to the shul to give a drasha. So he's talking about the halachos of Mechusar Amona. So he turns to the original gvir, the person who was supposed to be his original host, and said, I promised you that I'm going to stay by your house. Now to you, Rukveger, staying by your house, the Gadol Hador, that's a tremendous thing. So you're very upset that it was taken away from you. But Rukveger said, Lishi Tascha, having me stay at your house, is a matana merubah. The Gadol Hador, your house, matana merubah, what's the halacha? I can be chazer. There's no Mechusar Amona. The problem is, Kiveger said, with his great anava, I know that having Kiveger stay at your house is not such a big schus. I'm not so special. Me'el lishi tasi, it's a matana muetes. If it's a matana muetes, I have to listen. I can't be chazer. Mechusar Amona. Mela, I have to mefayis you, and he apologized, and they work things out. But the bottom line is, it's relative. It means if it's a present, the commitment is something that he relied upon, it's going to be usur. If it's something which is large, the person should not have relied upon it, there will be no mechusar amon.
If he says a big amount, and it doesn't mean it...
No, so if he doesn't mean it at the time, that's usur. We're talking about if he meant it at the time, and then he changed his mind. So the question is, the recipient, was he saying das, I'm going to get this? Or is, you know, when I see the cash, then when I see it, I'll believe it.
But even though he's not sort of nas, but it's still not sort of tied up with the leg. He doesn't expect to get it.
No, so it depends on the case. If when he said it, he didn't mean it, that's usur because he was echad v'echad b'lev. What happens is at the time he meant it, and then later on he changed his mind. That's not echad v'echad b'lev. That's a question of mechusar amona. So there, if the recipient was saying das, it will be usur. If he was never saying das, it will be mutter to change your mind. Ma'aser shehayah kachayah. Person went to a chasana. The chasana was people who he knew. They weren't such great friends. But he was very moved by the chasana. It was a very simple wedding, very plain people. He saw the tremendous simcha, the tremendous joy. So he figured, I'm going to do what I can to help out. And he gives the chasana a $500 check. That night he comes home, and he's thinking it over. He says, you know, that's a little bit too generous. So he calls back the chasana. And he said, you know what? I changed my mind. I want the check back. What's the halacha? Anybody? Okay, what's the first thing is, well, what's a check? If when you give someone a check, it's like you give him cash, okay, obviously if you give him cash, it's too late. If it creates a shtar chayv, created a debt, you know, it's over. But what happens if we take the third side? Which was, a check is a directive. It's a piece of paper that says, go to the bank, and the bank should give you $500 from my account. If that's the case, when I hand you the check, there's no consideration, nothing happened, there was no kinyan. It's nothing more than a paper that you're going to use to collect the present, so there's a commitment. L'chayra, $500 for most people is a matana meruba. If it's a matana merubah, and the whole issue is, can I change my mind from the commitment? When I gave it, I was sincere. It's not echad b'leiv. So l'chayra, I should have every right to go ahead and stop the check. And this is what the Shevet HaLevi, Chelek Zayin, Simen Reish Chav Beis, paskins. Hold on, slow down.
Is that too late or still not too late?
Alright, it was that night. It was. So, before everyone jumps on me, so I want to bring out 2 points. The first point, and this point the Shevet HaLevi himself brings out, is there's a very big exception or limitation to this rule. This concept that a matana meruba, if you promise someone a large present, you can back out. That's a regular person. You tell me to give them a present, so if at the time you were sincere and then you changed your mind, you have the right to back out. However, the Yerushalmi paskins, and the Rif brings this down the halacha, that if the recipient was an ani, if he was a poor person who was roy to get tzedakah, he says, you can't back out. Because it becomes a neder litzedakah. You told me to give him a present. He was someone who deserves to get tzedakah. You're locked in. And therefore, Zakta Shevet HaLevi, if this young couple were aniyim, then, regardless of whether it's matan merubah or matan mu'etes, you're stuck. You can't back out. Now, the Chuvas Maimini extend this to a case where there was a person noticed his anukul wasn't learning very well. And he decided it was his Adam's fault. He blamed the son-in-law. He wasn't learning with his kid. So he goes over to his son-in-law and he figures, okay, I'm going to speak to him the only language that he knows. He said, listen, you start learning with your son, and I'm going to pay you $100 a day for learning with him. Okay? He's getting paid. He starts learning with his son. At the end of the year, he presents his shver with a bill. And his shver says, "Mishatani bach, I didn't mean it. As you had to learn with your son anyway, and I'm not paying you." So halacha is that the shver happens to be right. He has the right to claim mishatani bach in most cases. We're not going to go into why. But the Chuvas Maimini says there's one big if, and that is, if the Adam's a regular person, he promised him money to do something that he has a chiyuv to do anyway, mishatani bach. However, if the Adam was an ani, then the moment you said, I'm going to give you this $100 a day, it's a neder litzedakah, and you can't back out. And you're stuck. And therefore, based on this, what it seems to be, and the Ksais says in Hilchos Schiras Poilim, is that whenever you make a commitment to a worker, to hire someone, to do business with someone, even in a case where it will be a matana meruba and you'll say, there's no mechusar amana, if he's an ani, then you'll have a chiyuv to carry through with the deal, and you'll have to go ahead, you'll have to hire him, you'll have to buy from him, you'll have to sell from him, you'll have to do business with him, you will not be able to back out, you'll have a din of a neder litzedakah.
How if you're hiring the person as for whatever reason that the arrangement is not working yet?
If your neder is, you paint my house and I give you X amount of dollars, and he doesn't know how to paint a house, so, you know, obviously it won't apply.
Well, if you're hiring, let's say, to learn with you.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just go through
a couple of different sheets. So what it seems from here is, whenever you do business with an ani, you're in trouble. Because the moment you say, okay, I'm going to hire you to do a job, even though there's no contract, there's no anything, it's another litzedakah. The Beis Shmuel, Chosh Mishpat Simen Yadayin, says, not so fast. He says, the Yerushalmi is talking about a case where you promise to give someone a present. If you go over to a poor person and say, you know what, I'm going to give you $1,000, it may be a matana meruba, but it's a neder litzedakah. Because he's an ani, he needs the money. You're promising to give him a present, it's a neder, it's tzedakah, you can't back out. The Chuvas Maimini takes it a step further, which is a case where you hired your son-in-law to learn with your grandson, which means you basically told him you're going to pay him for something that he should be doing on his own. Since he's an ani, and you're basically telling him, I'm going to give you free money, because it's not hiring, he has to do that anyway. That's also a neder litzedakah, and there you're locked in. However, if you hire someone to paint your house, is that a neder litzedakah? No, you want your house painted. Now it could be, in the back of your mind, the reason why you hired this person and not someone else is this person needs the money. Okay, good. So you talk it with Yehem Rechavin to be Mahane and Ani, it's a tremendous mitzvah, good for you. But Zakta Ben Shmuel, it's not a neder litzedakah. You meant it as a simple business deal. And therefore the Beishmuel paskins this halacha is limited only when you're giving him matana, when you're giving him something basically for nothing. However, in the context of a mekach u'memkar, if you're doing business, just because your counterparty happens to be an ani, it doesn't somehow create everything, make everything into a nether litztaka, and it would be mutter to be chayzer. Again, there are different shitas exactly when it applies, but you'll have to look at each case. Just because you're dealing with an ani doesn't automatically make it into a nether. So that's the first point the Shevet HaLevi makes. That if the recipient is an ani, then you certainly cannot cancel the check. Now, l'mayist, I would suggest, Teres Efsher, there's another cheshma, another factor you have to take into account. What's the guideline of matana merubah, of a large present? Is there a dollar amount? No. It's a question of smichas das. Does the person expect to get it or not? What would happen if you go over to someone and say, I'm going to give you $5,000, a present. That's clearly a matana merubah. But you tell him, don't worry, I really mean it. I know Hilchos Mechusa Ramana, and I'm not going to do you in. You can count on me. I'm Bedas Gemura, and you know it's not. You're going to get the money. And then you change your mind. Is that Mutter or Aser? Mechayra, Sazak, the Marival. That's Aser. Because even though it's a Matana Meruba, this is a case of Matana Meruba where he's Samech Das. Because he gave him such a Havstacha, such a guarantee, he was Samech Das. Now, I would suggest, let's go to a chasana. You're at the chasana, and two people come over to you. One person comes over to you and says, listen, I really wanted to give you a present, $72. I'm sorry, I left my checkbook at home. I'll stop by tomorrow, I'll drop off a check. The other person comes over to you and hands you a $1,000 check. Which person are you more soymech das on? The one, you got the check. It's maybe a matana meruba, but you're holding the check in your hand. So l'chayra, you can argue that although the check may be technically only a haftacha, it's nothing more than a debt. Go to the bank, you'll pick it up. Nothing, there's no kinyan, there's no mois. But it's a haftacha that has, that's backed. I didn't just give you a word, I handed you a check. So I would suggest that when you give someone a check, even if it's a matana meruba, regardless of the longness of what a check is, there would be a smichas das, and l'chayra, you should not have the right to back out.
In the context of Shevet Levi, his check is less than two dollars. The long check is less.
Okay, that could be. It's true. It's true. It's very fact. It's very hard to make rules.
Because you know the guy is history bouncing.
Excuse me.
In some cases, the check is not so much a smith of dust because you know the guy's a history bouncing.
That's true. That's certainly true. It's hard to make a rule, but in general, I think if a person, a friend, hands you a check, there's a pretty high level of smichas das, and I don't know that matana meruba would play a role. It's more. Understood. Organizations is a real nether litztaka. I mean, if it's a moisir, it's not. You don't have to come on to your shalmi a chiddush. That's that's you're handing a check for litztaka. Excellent. So he wants. The point that he's bringing up, and we're going to discuss it next week because it's a little bit of an arichos. But what happens with the Mechusar Amana when the recipient didn't hear about the commitment yet? Is that what he meant?
Right.
He doesn't know what the commitment is. So that will be an interesting shiloh. You know, when you're dealing with brokers or agents or in between, what happens if you make a commitment? Okay, I'm going to buy the house. But you tell it to an agent who didn't yet relay the news to the seller. So is there Mechusar Amana? We'll have to deal with that next week. But anyway, so just to sum up, a matana muetes, a small present, a commitment which the person is soymech das on, you cannot be chayzer. A matana meruba, a large commitment that people are not soymech das, they don't necessarily expect to get it. The other halacha is, you could be chayzer as long as you meant it seriously at the time, you can change your mind later. Now that's a case of matana. What happens with mekach u'memkar? What happens if you commit to buy something from someone and then you change your mind? You commit to hire a worker, you don't make a kinyan, and then you change your mind, you make a doctor's appointment, and then you want to cancel it. These are all cases where you gave your word. So here the halacha is the same. Once you gave your word, you made an appointment, okay, I'm, next Tuesday I'm going to come to your office and you're going to do whatever you're going to do. That's a verbal agreement to hire someone, and backing out would be us or would be Mechusar Amanu. Now, what happens, and this is probably the most common shayla of Mechusar Amanu, you're looking for a house. You find a house, you sign a contract, you call a mortgage broker, you get a rate, and you tell them, okay, you have my business, I'm going to use you. A couple of days later, the rates drop. Now this broker can drop the rates for you, he already locked you in, the company is not going to reset it. So you want to go somewhere else, you find a better price elsewhere. What's the halacha? So, Tosfos that we saw this morning says, the Yoiker into the first Tosfos on Daf Mentes, that just like by Matan Muetes, if you give a small present, you're locked in. The Yoiker Nami have come in Matan Muetes. If the price goes up in value, and now the buyer wants to force the seller to honor the original price, even though now he could do better selling it elsewhere, Zog Tosfos, that is like a Matan Muetes. Because to lock yourself in a business deal, to commit, to buy and to sell, even though the price may go up and it may go down, that is Matana Muetes. There's a Smichas Das, and Tosfos, and most Rishonim and Paskin, is going to be Osur, to be Chozer. Once you gave your word, you're locked in. Yes, Mishapara is when you actually gave money. Since you gave money there, if you back out, you get this Mishapara, Bezin curses you. Over here, where you didn't give money, you just made a verbal commitment. So it's Mechusar Amana. And the Rambam says that we can publicly embarrass you to pressure you to carry, to honor your word, but it is less chomer than a Mishapara.
How in an industry such as doctor's offices, or mortgage brokers for that matter, where it is extremely common, because of sometimes person feels better, whether yours tooth, you know, it fell out, whatever it is, that it's very common. Ask any doctor's office, they'll tell you this constant changing of cancellations of appointments. Is there really sneakers dust every time you make a person makes an appointment?
Okay, that's good. That's a good point. We'll address some of it later. But one point the Knesset Yecheskel has is a fascinating shuv in Aruch Chaim Siman Ches, where there was a little shtetl hired a rav, and he came to town. They made a party for him, a hachtara. The rav started darshaning, and it was a smashing success. It was the dvarim of smechim, kinesinosim, meisinai. Everyone went wild. I guess he must have been funny, but they loved the rav. They made a huge suda, a huge simcha. People gave him presents. Now apparently, at this achtar and at this big party, there were some spies from the town, from the big city down the road. And when they heard this Rav giving these drushas and giving these, so they said, we have to have him. And they went over to him, they made him an offer that he couldn't refuse. He didn't. And 3 days later he picked himself up and moved to the big city with a new shteller. Okay, good. We actually mentioned this in Ani Mahapach. That was those shiurim. But now they had a question of Mechusar Amanah. They went to the Rav. You said you came here, we gave you a 3-year contract, or you're going to stay here for a certain amount of time. You're backing out. What gives you the right to be Mechusar Amanah and a Rav no less? So Knesset Yecheskel paskin that it was mutter. That's as far as the kinyanim. He's not locked in, even if there was an agreement in Haskalas Malacha. But Mechusar Amanah, if he gave his word, a word's a word. So Knesset Yecheskel says 2 reasons why it should be mutter. And you have to take these, you know, carefully. They're a little bit of dangerous svaras. You have to know when to apply them. You can't abuse them. But the first svar he says is like this. How does a little derful, this little village get a good rav? It's very hard. Who's going to want to come out to move out to the boondocks? Who knows they had running water? It's not Elamai. It's understood. It's a starter job. You're going to come over here. You're going to intern. People, your name will get out. And it's a stepping stone. It's a good way to launch a career. But it's understood from everyone that the moment you get an offer from a real city, you're going to pick yourself up and leave. And he says, this arrangement is good for everyone. Because if you would be mavai, if you would say that there's halacha mechusar amanah, what's going to happen? No one will ever take a job in this kind of village. So he says, the first svar, he says, in such a situation where it's understood, everyone understands it's just a temporary kind of thing until you get something better, there's no mechusar aman. Then he says another svar. Getting a rav of kehila, it has to work out. It's not so simple. Not every rav is for every kehila, and every kehila is for every rav. And it's not clear when they negotiated what will really happen at the end. Will he be able to sort of support his family? Will he get to get, will he get along with the president of the shul? It's complicated. Zok v'knesses v'cheskel, in such a case, where when they made the agreement, everyone realized that it was really up in the air. And it was, no one knew whether they'd be able, whether this would work out or not. There he says there's no smichas das from the beginning. Locking yourself in when you don't know whether it's going to work is matana maruba. So in a typical case, you hire someone and you know, you're painting a house. It's not that complicated to paint a house. You're hiring someone to do a job, he could do it. So there you have an issue of mechusar aman. But in a case where it's a rav with a kehillah, where it's so touch and go, and such a case, he says, there's no smichas das, and even if they made some sort of commitment, it would be considered a matana maruba, and the parties would be able to back out. Okay, the contract will deal with separately. That's in Sechiras Poyolim. It could be the kehillah is locked in. But we're just dealing with the mechusar amana issue. Again, we'll get to it. That's in Sechiras Poyolim. We'll have to deal with what a contract means, who it locks in, and how it works with the Rav. It's a separate sukkah. But as far as the fact that he gave his word, even had there not been a contract, the fact that he gave his word, I will accept this position, I will be your Rav, if he then is Chayzer, since there were such significant things that were unknown and were unclear, they would have the right to back out.
Then otherwise, with this ordinarily, the fact that Pilz Lach, Yoch Lach, means that he needs Chayzer on him.
Correct. I mean, we'll get to in Sefiras Poyolim. The first man, Sefiras Poyolim, says, even though it's mutter to be chayzer, there are tarumos, which is what the Gemara says, and the Sma says very often you will be mechusar aman as well. It's two completely separate halachas. You can't, the fact that it's mutter in the fact that you have the right to back out in the Choshen Mishpah doesn't mean that it's the right thing to do in Hilchos Mechusar Aman.
This is not parallel to the case where the guy said, no, the Dinim and him still don't agree to this Rav who's being also, he still wrote the contract so that.
No, it's the other way around. It's over here, we're making a tentative commitment in the hope that it'll work out, but since we don't know whether it'll work out, they're not locking themselves in. If he said specifically, I will not be Chayzer, then it might be the same. But just the regular negotiations and agreement would be different. Now, forget about the contract. Contract, maybe you deal with Kinyonim, that will address in Simin Shin Lama Gimel. What we're dealing with today is simply the Mechusar Amana, the fact that you gave your word, do you have the right to back out?
Is there a Din Mechusar which would, even though the moral agreement might not be binding up the above of Trusted Cat or Kinyon, but if moral agreement is binding, according to the second law, you would say it's more than Mechusar Amana?
Well, I was under the impression that without consideration, a verbal agreement would not have any meaning in under secular law.
Okay, but there are oral agreements in the secular law.
Without consideration?
There has to be consideration.
Okay. Usually not. In Hilchos Tzitzumta, there is a concept of Tzitzumta that. An act that is considered by the general public, it's accepted as finalizing a deal, will create a kinyan even if it doesn't meet the standard, the classic definitions of a kinyan. That's known as a situmta. There is a discussion whether a verbal agreement itself can create a situmta, or you need some sort of act, writing, saying, doing something to make a kinyan. What? That is the case where it's discussed. Can that create a kinyan because it's accepted to be, or you need more than that, you need an actual act, and that's a whole machlokes. What? If there's a handshake, so then it clearly would be a situmta. But the question is, what happens if the minog is not to do any act and just to have words alone? So that is a mashag and a mishpat shalom that discuss that. But either way, it would have to be something which is, mazel bracha is something which everyone in the industry, that's how they operate. You say mazel bracha, is over. It doesn't matter whether you're Puerto Rican or Jewish, you say it, the deal's done. A law will not rise to that level. And a law would probably not be able to change the Hilchos Kinyanim the laws, you know, the entire Chesh Mishpah, all the halachas of Kinyanim, the civil law is going to treat it differently. But we would follow Chesh Mishpah. It's only where there becomes a minhag ha'seichrim, where everyone starts doing business with mazel or bracha, then we have that shiloh of the sitomta. Excuse me?
You never wonder if it's kinyan or not. It's enforced law in the second of the law.
Right.
Does that help you with this new adopt purposes of the
law? Possibly. Possibly. Try to enforce, you know, again, you hired the person to paint your house. It's true. If he wants to file a lawsuit and bring evidence that there was a verbal promise, maybe he'll win. But I don't think people expect to be sued or hauled in front of a court.
Take the example of a check.
What?
Take the example
of a check. Of a smichus das. Okay, a check I agree with. Check I think there would be a smichus das, because when you give someone a check, the fact is there's a certain level of smichus das. Now legally I actually don't know what happens. If it's a present without any consideration, you cancel it. I took a poll last week of the lawyers. We didn't get any clear answers. What? Okay. I know it's not really written by the Shevet Alevi. It was written by his son, which his father signed on it. I don't understand it, but okay. Let's just finish up this point. So Taisvis learns that even if the price changes, even if the rate drops, once you have a commitment to buy and sell, there's Mechusar Amono. Rav Rishayim passed him like this. However, the Baal Hamor argues. The Baal Hamor says, the whole concept of Mechusar Amono is, I say I'm going to give you a present. So for me to change my mind without any justification, that's Mechusar Amono, that's us. However, Zok the Baal Hamor, if I agree to buy something for $1,000, and then the price changes, and then when we come time to finalize the deal, it's only worth $900. So the Baal Hamor, I have the right to back out. Because I committed to buy a $1,000 item for $1,000. I never committed to overpay for goods. And therefore, there's no Mechusar Amono. So in other words, the point is not that Mechusar Amono has a price tag. You know, mitzvahs, atzlish, chaymish. So Mechusar Amono is until, the point over here is not. Like, the point is that the matana meruba, the reason why you can back out is not because it's so much money involved so you can back out. You back out by matana meruba because there was never a smichas das. And therefore, the way the Ran explains it, the smichas das is only that I'm offering goods at the market value, you're going to honor your word, you're not going to walk away. But the moment the facts change, and now there's our deal for $1,000 is overpriced because you can get it anywhere else for $900. There's never any smichas das in those circumstances, and there the Baal Hamor says you'd have the right to back out. Now, Rav Rishayim argue on the Baal Hamor. The Mechaber and the Ramo both paskin clearly, even by treitari, even if the price changes, you would have a chiyuv to go through with the deal. However, many of the Achroinim are Mekel, the Chassam Sofer, the Chacham Tzvi, the Erech Shai, and others are Mekel, and they say if the price changes, if it's Trei Tari, you would have the right to back out. Now, the Halacha, the Aruch HaShulchan is Machriya, that Me'ikar HaDin, it's Mutter. If the price changes, if the facts on the ground change, you would have the right to back out. However, as a Midas Chassidus, a person certainly should be machmir if he could and try to carry through with the deal. But Meikar Hadin, Yerach HaShulchan Paskins, were Meikar like a Baal Hamor, and if the price changes, you'd have the right to back out.
Baal Hamor is even if it's in favor of the Nisan?
It depends which way. Again, there are two points. Every time there's Mechusar Amono, it's a two-way street. The buyer and the seller are both locked in. So if the price goes down, then the buyer is going to want to back out and say, I can get it cheaper elsewhere. And the Baal Hamor says he could. If the price goes up, the seller is going to want to back out. And I can get a better price selling it to the next customer.
It would behoove someone to go into a potential Mechusar Amono situation to make a disclaimer and say, you know, this is what I'm planning to base on current circumstances, but the circumstances change.
Correct. I mean, in all Chosh and Mishpat, if you make it clear what the intent or to what extent you're locked in, that would certainly help. But the absence of that, there is a Shaila Mechusar Amono. Now, very often with mortgages, this Shaila comes up all the time. And you usually have a very serious problem because if the mortgage's rates drop significantly, so for the buyer, over the life of the mortgage, you're dealing with a huge amount of money. For the broker, I mean, it really depends on the situation, he may not be making all that money, much off this deal. So even if a person wants to be machmir on Mechusra Amano, very often it doesn't make sense to go through with a deal because he's going to end up losing more than the broker will gain. It makes more sense just to cool the guy off and try to be mephias him, tell him, you know, I feel bad at your work, you put in time and effort, you know, and try to offer him a few dollars and get him to release you even if you want to be machmir. Of course, again, Mekar Hadin, you can't be mechayev someone to do that because Roivach Roinim seem to be Mako by Trey Tari. One case which is L'chayra also L'kulayama, and that is a person goes into a store, he commits, you know, they come to a verbal agreement he's going to buy a Camry or whatever it is at a certain price, comes back the next day and says, you know what, I found it cheaper at Walmart. So over there, what do you found it cheaper at Walmart? Walmart is always cheaper. If you wanted the lowest price, go to Walmart. You came here because it's local, he's Yiddish, you asked for advice. So that, it's very difficult to make an argument that that's called Trey Tari. It was there, you knew it was available there, you chose not to look for it. Now, she ain't getting a case where this is the price, and then tomorrow they come up with new more bells and whistles, and suddenly what you committed to buy is outdated, and the price drops. That's Trey Tari. The price changed, but simply because you didn't shop around before, L'chayr would not justify backing out according to all shittas.